Morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all say hey to Eric Jr. This is Eric Hill Jr., and Eric is going to help us this morning with the reading of the Word. Amen?
Bringing babies to Jesus.
Speak loud.
Hands on them.
When the disciples saw this,
they
rebuked them.
But Jesus called the children to him.
And said, "Let the little children come to me.
And
do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these."
Belongs to such as these.
Truly I tell you.
Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God.
Like a little child.
Will never enter it.
Thank you very much. You did a great job.
Give me a hug. I appreciate it. All right, you can go sit with your mom, okay? I asked him right before we got up here, I said, "You're going to get a surprise after this, right?" I was thinking, a cookie? He said, "Yep." I said, "What?" He goes, "A truck." And so I don't know if that's something that his mother, Sonia, has promised him, or if he was looking at me to provide him a little toy truck, but he's going to get that truck whether you get it or not. Is it on me? It's on me. Okay, she said it's on me. Good morning and happy Father's Day to all of the dads today, whether you are a biological father or a spiritual father. We're glad you're here. We got a lot of visitors here this morning, and we're just really happy that you're all here. It's a great day. We're in a series of lessons intended to remind us that there are people in our society who sometimes we overlook. We look over them. We marginalize them. We don't pay the attention to them that we ought to. We don't support them and give them the empowerment that we need to give them. And last week, Lindy started us off in this series by talking about sometimes how we treat and don't treat the elderly among us and in our society with the respect that they deserve. And what Lindy reminded us of was that it is not easy to grow old. Amen? I heard some older folks saying amen. Younger folks don't know that yet. But it isn't easy to grow up, and he reminded us of that yesterday. In today's society, we sometimes are surprised at how many different groupings of people we leave out, how many different groupings of people that we marginalize in our world today. And sadly, children are often among that grouping. You know, it wasn't intended in any way when we, Paul and Lindy and myself, got together months ago and kind of planned out some of the sermon titles and series. We never intended specifically for the lesson on honoring our children and not forgetting about our children to fall on Father's Day. It's sort of serendipitous that it happened that way. Maybe it was the Spirit of God working. Nevertheless, we're glad that it happened that way because it is because of our children that we are bestowed the title Father upon, right? So we're glad to be talking about children today on Father's Day. But before we do that, I want us to think for just a few minutes about the ministry of Jesus, all right? I want us to think about some aspects of the ministry of Jesus that will be, I believe, an excellent springboard into talking about children today. And first of all, I want to ask you this. Have you ever noticed that Jesus often turns things upside down? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that Jesus often doesn't respond in the way that people expect him to respond? How about the time when Jesus went into the temple? Who would have thought that Jesus would go into the temple, his father's house, and literally turn over the money changers' tables and booths? Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that he would have made such a scene, making a whip and driving those money changers out? Who would have thought, I think about that scene at Simon's house, the Pharisee, where the dinner party is going on. Who would have thought that Jesus would have been okay with a woman who had lived a very sinful life in that town? He would have been okay for her to come in and literally weep all over his feet, drying her feet with her hair, which she let down. I mean, she broke all kinds of social taboos, religious taboos for the Jews. Who would have thought that Jesus would have been okay with that? Who would have thought that Jesus would have addressed the adulteress that was brought to him and they were about to stone her? Who would have thought that Jesus would have stood up for her? Who would have thought that Jesus would have sort of cast away, in a sense, the age-old traditions of treating the Samaritans as dogs when Jesus dealt with the woman at the well? And also in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who would have thought that as Jesus' disciples were hit on over and over and over for their lack of adherence to rules like fasting and hand washing and even other Sabbath day rules, who would have thought that Jesus would not have sided with the religious teachers of the law? Who would have thought that Jesus would give such different answers to questions than was expected? Who would have thought that as Jesus cast out legion, he cast these demons out of a man who was so possessed with so many demons that literally when he cast them out, he caused them to go into the herd of swine and go off a cliff into the lake? Who would have thought Jesus would have reacted in such a way? In each of those examples, we see that Jesus turns something upside down, and it shows us in those examples what he really values. When it came to that first example that I used, him going into the temple and casting out those money changers, what he showed them was that he was more concerned about poor people who came to the temple, who came to the Father's house, and were desperate to worship. And when the sinful woman came in and made that scene, weeping over his feet, it showed them that he valued her heart and her desire to worship him. When Jesus goes in front of this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and then he tells the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it shows us that Jesus valued all people. Not just people from his line. Not just people from his home, his hometown. He valued and loved all people. With the adulteress, it shows us that Jesus valued her for who she was. And even though she deserved death, he loved her and he wanted to save her. I think with the demon-possessed man, it shows us that Jesus probably was sick. It just probably made him sick at his stomach to think that the people of the town were more worried about their chance of livelihood going down the drain than they were a man who had been enslaved for years by Satan. I think if Jesus was here, he would be concerned about way different things than most of us are. I doubt he would care very much about our Sabbath day rules and traditions, especially if we refuse to take care of the poor and needy around us. I doubt he would listen for 1 minute to a gripe from this group or any group about the songs we sing or the prayers or the communion meditation when he sees the prejudice and the hate that we harbor in our hearts for other people. I'm pretty confident that Jesus wouldn't be impressed or supportive of our religious habits and traditions, when we fail to recognize, love, and nurture the least of these among us. And today's focus is our children. In a 2017 UNICEF study puts the U.S. among the lowest developed countries for youth well-being, stating that even higher incomes, this is what the study proves, that even higher incomes do not guarantee that children develop well in areas of development such as mental health, physical health, emotional health. That's the United States, one of the most well-developed countries in the world. We don't score well. For the second year in a row in a different study, our state, the state of Mississippi, was rated the worst state in the nation to raise children. That's not good, is it? The worst state in the nation. Some of the factors studied have to do with poverty and health and community and family. And I understand that numbers don't tell the whole story. But we would be blind not to see that there is a devaluing of children in our society. Child neglect and abuse is not something that we see declining. It's pretty much staying constant. And this isn't something new. All of these kinds of problems that devalue our children, they're generational. We see them from generation to generation. And while I can't argue that these statistics make exactly these points, I can't argue that they don't either, I have to believe that the answer is not in more government involvement. It's not in more legislation. It's not in additional programs. But I think what we can say and we can all agree on is that what Jesus offers is an immediate solution for our children. The children in our families, in our churches, and to some degree our community. The passage that young Eric read, let's read it together. Oh, and by the way, that piece of paper wasn't for me. I mean, it wasn't for him. That was for me. Eric is in preschool, and he can't read yet, so he had that memorized. He was a little nervous, but his mother and father worked with him all weekend to help him memorize that. So we certainly affirm their desire to raise their kids well and their involvement in their children. This is the passage that he read. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And I suppose that as Jesus was taking the time to bless the children, his disciples saw that, and they didn't like the fact that Jesus' time was taken up with these kids. And so their attitude is probably like a lot of ours. They're sort of shooing the kids away. You know, don't bother the teacher. He's got more important things to do. He has to teach us. And once again, Jesus sees the situation from a completely different perspective. And it isn't like all the other examples I used, the Pharisees and the teachers and the other religious people that Jesus is talking to. The text tells us these are his people. These are his disciples. All right? And they didn't understand how important the kids were. These weren't Pharisees and teachers of the law that Jesus is dealing with. These are Jesus' disciples that didn't understand his value, the value that he had in his heart for the children. And so what I want us to see this morning for just a couple of minutes is that Jesus really turns two ideas upside down. I mean, all the times in Scripture when Jesus turns things upside down, and we saw, I gave you just a few examples of that. There are two things here in this story that Jesus really turns upside down. First is the idea that children are unimportant to God. Now, some of you have read this passage, and you are accustomed to hear this as, instead of Jesus saying, "Permit the little children to come to me," or or let the little children. How many of you grew up here and suffer the little children to come unto me? Y'all heard that? You grew up reading the KJV instead of NIV, and it says suffer the little children. And some of y'all have also heard the phrase. Anybody here heard the phrase? You know, I don't easily suffer a fool. What do you mean by that? You don't put up with them. You don't tolerate them. And so, in our minds, sometimes we read this and we've heard this, and we sort of see it as, you know what? Jesus wants you to put up with these kids. He wants you to tolerate them. He wants you to, you know, and that's, you know, some of y'all are like, man, I can't hardly put up with my own kids. I can't tolerate my own kids. Much less somebody else's kids, and yet Jesus is saying, he is not saying just tolerate these kids. That's not what he's saying. That's simply not so. What Jesus is saying is permit them. Don't hinder them. And I hope that you see this, and I'm really going to harp on this morning because I really want us to get this. Maybe we haven't gotten this to the degree that we should have in the past. Permit it and don't hinder them. Why? Because this is their kingdom. Did y'all hear that? This is not your kingdom that one day you're going to usher your children in on. Jesus says this is their kingdom. It belongs to them. Now, again, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to harp on this for a minute because I really want us to get something here. Folks, when God gives us authority, or when we just naturally have authority because we are adults, or because we're in the social context where authority is afforded to us, we have a responsibility as to how we use that authority. And what God is telling us here is the kingdom doesn't just belong to those who are in authority, amen? The kingdom belongs to the children. It doesn't just belong to the folks, the adults, the teachers of the law, the church leaders, the elders, the preachers, the deacons. The people who just by, in some cases, I'm certainly not saying that this applies here. But in some situations, folks are given authority just because they're not wet behind the ears anymore. And we misuse that authority when we don't recognize and see and treat our children as if not that they're going to join the kingdom at some point. The kingdom, folks, Jesus says it plainly, it belongs to them. It's theirs. Some of us won't like this because we're guilty of it. But we tend to see kids as second-class citizens in the kingdom until they're baptized. At which point, we do a little hooray and we clap a bit, and then we wait again for them to become adults until we can see some maturity in them, and then we grant them kingdom membership status. Jesus says the kingdom belongs to them. They don't act like it, you think? They don't act like they should be possessors of the kingdom? Guess what? Neither did you, and neither did I when I was their age. And neither do some of us right now, amen? Whether they act like it or not doesn't take away the truth and the force of Jesus' words that the kingdom of heaven belongs to these kids. Oh man, if that were all of it, but it's not. He also says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Who is that? It's anyone whom we would consider the least of these. The kingdom of God, he could have just left it at that. The kingdom of God belongs to these little children, but that's not what he didn't leave it at that. He went on and he said, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. In all of our society, whoever Jesus looks at and sees as marginalized, less respected, a less included person in our society, Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven, y'all better not mistreat them because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. The aged, like Lindy talked about last week, the minority, the disabled, those with learning disabilities, special needs children, people who are diseased, people who have, because of whatever's transpired in their lives, have not developed into what we would think of as a pillar of society. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Here's a good example for you, folks. When you think about this idea of authority and power and how those of us who have the authority and power often misuse it. When a child is abused, they often grow up feeling as if they have been disempowered. Or they have no voice. Their voice has been taken away from them. And they've lost that voice. And those of us who've never lost our voice, we don't understand how important it is that they have a voice with which to assert. That they are somebody. They matter. And they're worth something. And in the incredibly, I want y'all to get this, y'all, in this dark world where we disempower so many different people, sometimes by intention, sometimes by accident, in the incredible, gracious way that God deals with us, He looks at us and He says, you don't have a voice. You don't have any power. The authority's been taken from you. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. All of these souls, no matter what situation they're in, they have worth, and they're worth something to me. They have a valuable place in my kingdom, and you better make sure they have the same access to me. That's what he meant when he says, permit the children to come to me and don't stop them. You better not stand in the way of a kid trying to get to me. Amen? And Jesus is very serious about those children and the such as these. Anybody who would fit in that marginalized context. This is a little odd, all right, but y'all just bear with me. I want to ask for all the kids to come down front. Parents, don't worry about it. If they act up, it's on me, okay? Y'all be mad at me anyway, so might as well. All the kids, come down front. And those of how old? I was just going to say, all the kids, and if you feel like you don't want to come because you're too old, then it won't hurt my feelings if you decide to just stay where you're at. Y'all just come on up here and have a seat. Y'all have a seat. And y'all know that your parents are sitting there now, nervous as a cat, worried about what you're going to do. Come on. You want to come up here? You want to sit right here? You want to sit right here? There we go. So y'all don't, whatever you do, y'all, do not embarrass your parents right now. Okay? I promise you, you won't get any lunch if you embarrass them. Now let me ask you this, all right? Based on the Word, all right? Based on the Word of the Lord, all right? Are these just kids, or do they possess equality in the kingdom? Come on, that's a question. They possess equality in the kingdom. Y'all, if they're just kids, then let's just teach them to be seen and not heard, throw them a bone or two in the way of resources, and hope that miraculously, by the time they're adults, they won't fall away and the world won't have gobbled them up. Or, if we can see their value, if we can see through the eyes of Jesus, and we can see them as equals in the kingdom, young souls to whom the kingdom belongs, then we have the responsibility to make their spiritual journey as rich and strong as we have the power to do. Folks, this is first the responsibility of parents, fathers especially. I want you to know that today on Father's Day. But in the absence of fatherhood, the church cannot stand idly by. Amen? In 1995, a man by the name of Tom Lowe wrote, "For most of our history, a child growing up in the United States of America could reasonably expect to grow up with a father at home. Today, he can reasonably expect not to." Fatherlessness is fast replacing fatherhood. Those of us who have children, we know that even when the father and mother is present in the home, y'all, is parenting tough? Man, it is tough. It's tough when, if there was two fathers and two mothers in the same home, it'd still be tough. It's tough raising kids. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The second thing that Jesus turns upside down, I want you to see it. I want you to see this passage again. "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Folks, we learn from this how the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of heaven is to be received. Why did Jesus say this? Folks, something happens between childhood and adulthood, doesn't it? We get jaded. We get mistreated. We lose our innocence. We have all kinds of struggles. And man, by the time we become adults, we're hardened by life's experiences. And we learn to hate and distrust one another. We learn to exaggerate and hide and cover up our true feelings. We learn how to be adults. We lose our zest for life, our love for people, and our willingness to forgive. And Jesus says we should receive the kingdom of heaven like these children. Now, I was blessed to go to camp Friday evening and stay the night. The worship was very uplifting. The late night Devo was just incredibly inspiring. The praise lifting up in the dark was just amazing. But there was a woman there, and I'll neither confirm nor deny that she's a member of this church. All right? So I'm not going to tell you her name. But there was a woman there who has had a rough year. She's been discouraged, maybe a little depressed, certainly heavy-hearted. And I don't know if it was the week of being with the kids or just a special blessing from God's Spirit Friday night, but there was something different about her as she worshiped the Lord. She worshiped like a child, full of joy. And I know it kind of makes me sound like a creeper because I was watching her, but it sort of caught my attention. It caught my attention because she had a smile on her face, and she was just so animated, and it was so obvious that she was worshiping the Lord as a child. The praise coming from her lips and the smile on her face was as pure and joyful as anything I've ever seen. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that in that moment she was receiving and participating in the kingdom of God as would a precious child. You see, we may be in a position of authority over these kids. We may have some power over them, but never forget, folks, that Jesus welcomes them as equals, and we better as well. I'd also add that we have something to learn from them, don't we? Jesus said plainly, "Unless you receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child, you will never enter it." And there's something about these kids. There's something about their heart, their attitude, their sincerity. Oh, dude, they're honest sometimes, aren't they? Brutally. Eric said he wanted a truck. He didn't mince that at all. He could have said a cookie. His mama's got some cookies back there right now. I saw them. He wanted a truck. They're honest. But we can learn something from these little kids about how the kingdom of heaven is to be received. And I'm going to say it like this, y'all. Okay, we got several more lessons where we're going to talk about other marginalized people. But I know you've heard it all your lives that our children are the future of our church. Raise your hand if you heard it. Say I if you heard that. That's true to some degree, right? But I think what Jesus is telling us is they are the church now. They're the church today. And we have authority and power to input, to put into them something that will tear them down or build them up. And we better take it serious. We better take it serious. The lesson is yours today. And y'all can go back if you want to and sit with your parents. Or
why are we sitting here?
Why? She said, why are we sitting here? Because I wanted this church to look at y'all's beautiful, freshly washed, shining faces. No. I wanted for Jesus' love to shine through you. I wanted this church to be able to see you guys and realize how special and precious you are. Can we amen that? All right, y'all go ahead and go sit down. Church, let me say this, and the lesson will be yours. I'm going to stop, all right? We dare not blow this. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear me? We dare not blow this. We dare not look at and treat the very people that Jesus says, the such as these, to whom belongs the kingdom. In His graciousness, He could have said, you know what, until you get to a certain point spiritually, the kingdom ain't yours, but that's not what He did. Jesus gives it to the lowliest among us in our society. To Jesus, they're not lowly. And we dare not treat them as lowly either. This morning, if you need to ask for prayers and help to cast off the adult veil that you've been looking at your spirituality and your salvation. You've been looking at the kingdom through the eyes of an adult, and you've lost the joy and the zeal. I think what Jesus is doing is He's inviting you back to that. Please come if there's anything we can do to help you this morning.